Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Founders Club Radio.
Welcome to the Founders Club, where each week we talk to the founders and leaders of great private companies. I'm your host, John Coffin, and this morning here in the studio, we have Lee Pritchard, the CEO of ProMove, and Jim McCutcheon, the CEO and founder of Highgrove Partners. Good morning, guys.
Morning, John.
We flipped the coin, and Lee, we're going to start with you. It's so great to have you in the studio. Tell us about ProMove and what your current scope of business is.
Sure. ProMove helps people find apartments, and we've been in business since 1991, and we are an Atlanta-only company at this point, and this year we'll be responsible for about 18,000 apartment leases in the metro Atlanta area, which is roughly 12-13% of the total market for leases.
So if I'm looking for an apartment and moving to Atlanta or just looking for a different setup, what does ProMove do for me?
Basically, a property specialist, and then we send you a customized search, your favorites. We actually make the phone calls, check availability for you, make sure that they have a unit in the time frame that you need within your budget before you actually go out and visit. All of this is free to the renter, and we get paid out of the marketing and advertising budgets at the apartment communities.
Wait, so this is free? Like, I thought there was no such thing as a free lunch.
There is no charge to you, the renter or the consumer. So similar to, you know, travel agents and other things.
Okay, fantastic. Lee, you're a serial or repeat entrepreneur, and take us back to when you started getting the idea for ProMove or your other companies. I know they're somewhat intertwined, so would love to hear some history.
Yeah, they are. Actually, my first venture was an appliance rental business that was focused on serving upscale apartment communities and their residents. It was a business that was a niche business, so a big media campaign, brand building wasn't in the cards. And so we found out pretty quickly that we needed to get our offer to renters between the time they got approved for their apartment lease and when they moved in. And so I thought of an idea. I said, you know what? I need to go find a company that helps renters connect all of their utility services because the timing would be perfect to present my offer.
So when you're in transition, you just have to deal with a lot of stuff.
So
every headache that a mover has, you were kind of thinking about addressing.
That's exactly right. So I looked for this connection service, couldn't find it, and so that spawned an idea for my second company, which was All Connect, which did exactly that. And it was actually part of my strategy to launch All Connect that I ended up acquiring ProMove so that I could have a customer base to develop the All Connect platform.
Did you ever actually merge the two companies, or they were always separate?
They were always separate.
Okay.
They were under a holding company umbrella at one point, but All Connect, we needed venture financing, and so we ultimately raised over $100 million of venture capital for that business, and so they are completely separate at this point. But ProMove was actually started by somebody that moved to Atlanta from North Carolina looking for an apartment in 1990, had just a terrible time. And so from personal experience, it was like, I think I can do better.
Okay.
And so that was the genesis of the company.
Gotcha. So, you know, you've had this experience where you take an idea and, you know, kind of figure out how do you operationalize that? And sometimes that's an R&D type of effort, but it sounds like yours was just really a complete startup. Talk about that. And
it was. Well,
it's pretty gutsy move to do something like that.
So with the appliance rental company, I had relationships established in the apartment industry in Atlanta. And so I went to a handful of my relationships and said, hey, I've got an idea for All Connect. Would you guys be interested in helping me test it?
Mm-hmm.
And so literally, I created a fax order form where their residents would have to fill out this one-page form, and then it would get faxed into my home office above my garage.
Okay.
And then I had somebody who would actually call in the orders $1,000 to the utility companies, and then we would send the confirmation back. And so before we invested a whole lot of money, we wanted to be sure that that people were actually interested in using the service. Mm-hmm. And then from there, after you prove that you can acquire customers, then you start investing in your capabilities to scale it.
So it was real-life garage R&D.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
That's great. Okay.
Not Silicon Valley, but it was Lake Forest Drive.
We never knew there was that hub at Lake Forest Drive. That's great. Serving thousands of consumers a year, what are some of the cultural cornerstones or core values that you're trying to push through your company?
Well, you know, first and foremost, be a force for good.
Okay.
The great thing about both ProMove and AllConnect is they are convenience-oriented services, and so we're solving a pain point for our customers.
Okay.
And then we're also providing cost-effective traffic to apartment communities. And so it's really kind of a win-win model. Mm-hmm. Basically, we want to treat everybody with respect. That includes customers, coworkers, our vendors, everyone. We just want to be a pleasure to do business with.
Okay.
And then just bringing a positive attitude every day to work, even if you don't feel like it.
That's sometimes easier said than done, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You talked about your relationship with the apartment complex. I guess this is a huge service to them ultimately, and that's the basis of your revenue model. Describe how that all works.
Sure. It's a results-oriented revenue model, and so it doesn't cost apartment communities anything to list with our service, and we simply invoice them when we generate a lease at their property and our client moves in.
Okay, so it's like a lead generation effort for them.
That's correct, but they only, and they're not paying per lead because the lead, you know, people that show up at the property don't always lease. In
right.
our case, they only pay us if one of our customers leases at the property.
Okay.
And so we typically get a base fee of about a half a month's rent.
So how many apartment complexes or properties are now on your site?
We've got just about 900 communities right now in the metro Atlanta area.
And new properties that are coming on as well as longstanding existing
absolutely.
Apartments.
Yes, absolutely. And we typically represent professionally managed communities where they have on-site leasing staff. And so the smaller mom-and-pop landlords that don't have the on-site leasing staff is not really part of our model.
Okay. So the other thing that's been very interesting in the press these days is the whole concept of managing, leading, and in your instance, marketing to millennials and
uh-huh.
Gen Y folks. Talk about some of your observations about that, because I know that a lot of your product specialists probably fit that spec, as do a lot of your consumers.
They do, and you know, it's virtually everything we do is online in terms of our marketing. I think we have one offline marketing campaign right now, and many of you have probably seen the yellow-wrapped MARTA buses running
right.
up and down Peachtree Street. But everything else we do is online. Some of that is paid search, some of it's organic search, and then we also syndicate a lot of our listings out to national apartment listing sites. And so those sites are typically advertising-based models. So on a good day, they might have half the number of listings that we would have. And so for example, in Atlanta would have over 400 listings that those partners don't have. We send them a feed, and then phone calls and emails come to us, which helps out on the property side. They don't have to take those calls and emails.
Okay, so how in the world do you measure the ROI of a yellow ProMove MARTA bus cruising around the city?
Well, it was if you don't have multiple offline campaigns running, it was easier because what we really track all of our traffic sources, and there's a bucket that we call brand, which are direct visitors to the website, direct calls into one of our locations or our internet lead team. And so we looked at kind of the year-over-year growth rate of that category before we launched the MARTA buses and after, and we were able to come to a reasonable conclusion as to the success of that.
So it has been successful.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, it really has.
Well, it's like a big moving billboard. That's great.
Yes,
taking advantage of the traffic in Atlanta.
Absolutely,
that's great. Okay, Jim. Thanks, Lee. We're going to come back together. But Jim, maybe I can shift to you. Tell us about Highgrove and what you guys are up to these days.
Yeah, it's such a great company. I'm so proud of it, and we are one of the largest independent landscape contractors in the city. Atlanta is arguably the one of the toughest, most competitive markets for our business in the entire country. There are estimates of nearly 3,000 landscape companies in the metro Atlanta area. And so we work very hard every day to differentiate ourselves. We currently have about 600 properties that we maintain all around the city. Turner Field, Concourse, Northside Hospitals. Matter of fact, the building we're in today is one of those. And we have a little over 200 people, about 80 trucks running around the city every day, and adding our third location. So it is a very people-intensive business. And
Both your clients and your employees, it's
very
just
much
a high-touch,
so.
High-interaction type of business model.
It is, very much. And it's and that's really kind of how we built our differentiation. It's very difficult for us to differentiate just on the work that we do. And, I had a situation with nursery companies years ago, and I told them, I said, you guys all think if you hand me a pamphlet, I can look at it and determine who's the better company. I said, I really can't. I said, the problem is all of you folks end up thinking like nursery people. What I need you to think of is to be like logistics people and help me make sure that things get to my jobs on time and so forth. And that's how you help me. And so we look at this and approach this in a very different model.
I love your quote on the website that you're a, quote, service company that happens to do landscaping
very
well.
Very much so. Yeah, and the other mantra that we have all the time in there is stop thinking like a landscaper.
Now, I'm not sure I've ever thought like a landscaper, but how does one stop thinking like one?
Well, if you think this business is about the plants in the ground, it's not. We've got great customers all over the city that expect us to do a good job, and we're going to do that. That's what gets us there to the table. But what keeps us there is the ability for us to build a strong relationship and build value of their asset and really help their business.
So your teams of people are literally in multiple locations every day, and I'm quite sure that stuff hits the fan occasionally. How do you deal with that? And as a leader, but also, what are your expectations for your employees?
Well, look, we have very high expectations, but we're also realists. And we realize that, yes, you're right, stuff does hit the fan every day. Sometimes it's stuff you can't understand how in the world did that happen, but other times it's explainable. But the biggest thing is nobody's going to get shot for making a mistake. It's just if we keep making the same mistake over and over, that's a problem. So it's a learning model each and every day. And, a lot of cases we have great systems and we understand exactly what we're going to do, but sometimes you got to pick it up by the seat of your pants and figure out what's going to happen next.
What's one of the craziest things that's happened on site, so to speak?
Oh, goodness.
You guys deal with big machines and lots of moving parts.
Yeah.
So
yeah, actually, what do we always talk about in Atlanta? Traffic, right? One day I was coming back. I was doing some work down in Columbus, and I was coming back to my office, and bad traffic jam. I see that there's an accident on my GPS, and I'm just like everybody else going, duck on it. Why does this have to happen? And this and the other, only to find out, get a call from one of my competitors that says your truck's laying on its side in the middle of the highway. So I was kind of kicking myself at that moment. So
I know you have trucks all over that are have big advertisements and wrappings, maybe not quite like the yellow truck, but that's the one day that you probably got a little bit of advertising that you didn't want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. That's exactly right.
All right. Highgrove is also the official landscaper of the Atlanta Braves. Tell us about that relationship and how you started that.
Well, that's a perfect example of a great relationship. We could easily go over there and just take care of the landscaping, which, by the way, we do not touch the field. I've told anybody if they touch that field, we're in trouble. So, But we have a very strong relationship with them. We are a certified real estate school as well, so we put on seminars for our customers and so forth and give them continuing education credits. We do it down there with the Braves. So we're renting facilities from them. They're doing tours for us. And so we're continuing to build their brand at the same time we're doing ours. So it's been a great relationship.
I love to hear about the start. You've been in landscaping your whole career, but and design and build, and you know, some of the beautiful cityscapes that we see are literally the work of your hands. But how'd you decide to start Highgrove, and you know, what was the genesis for that?
Well, you know, I decided that I loved the University of Georgia so much that I was going to stay there forever, and I was almost done with the business school and came home one day and told my parents I wanted to be a landscape architect. And it's one of the things I'll never forget when my father looked at me and he said, "Son, nobody's ever made any money knowing about trees." And so I've enjoyed proving him wrong on that, but went to landscape architecture school and ultimately was hired by Post Properties. So, you know, Lee and I were discussing the multifamily business today. And my charge with my former partner was to build a landscape company for people other than Post. So we built that company up inside the Post environment, did work all over the city, and then in 2001 took that company private and formed Highgrove Partners at that point.
Fantastic. So you've been in business for 13 years. Now you're now the number five yes, professional landscape company in the city?
Well, I'd like to say I'm the number one professional landscape company in the city.
I stepped right into that one.
You did. Thanks for that. No,
that's
absolutely.
Some free advertising right there.
Yeah, you know, but even being the number four company in the city in terms of size, by our estimation, we still have less than 2% of the market share. So it is a massive marketplace, and we've got big plans to be the number one company in the city.
Great. You are literally at the growth point of the green industry. Talk a little bit about how our attention to green matters over the last 10, 15 years has impacted your business, and perhaps what you're doing differently as it relates to that.
Yeah, you know, the whole sustainability movement. I'm currently the president of the National Landscape Association. Planet is the name of it, and so you get to travel around the country, see lots of folks, and learned a lot of things, and particularly out on the West Coast. And what I find is so interesting is that a lot of the practices that are accepted and desired by consumers out there. In our city, they're not ready for that yet. People won't allow those things. And so,
what would those things be?
Well, for instance, I often ask this question, if I say to somebody, "Hey, listen, who would like organic lawn care?" And everybody in the room will raise their hands. So they say, "Okay, great. Now, how many of you with your hands up, if I told you that, well, it's not going to be completely weed-free, and it's probably going to be a little bit more expensive, how many are going to keep your hand up?" Well, that quickly drops.
Right.
And, you know, our city is not there at that point yet. And we may get there, but there are a lot of practices, particularly as it relates to water. During the drought in 2007, we started a whole new company called No Water, K-N-O-W Water. And at a time when most of my competitors were shutting down their irrigation companies, we nearly tripled that business because we found a solution to help our customers not only save money and save water, but also do a great service for their tenants and make them look great as well. So we like to try to think of things very, very differently. Stop thinking like a landscaper.
Gotcha. Okay. And I guess part of that is convincing and educating your clients, commercial real estate owners, that maybe there's a way to do it differently. Maybe there's a way for your property to look differently than everything else.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have something internally we call the why wouldn't you filter. And so if we had a solution, say a sustainable solution, and we could bring it to a customer and it brought all of those great attributes of being green, and at the same time it could save them money, then why wouldn't you? And so if we can get it to pass through the why wouldn't you filter, we'll bring it to the marketplace.
Jim, as I know you do business with a lot of companies that would be the envy of everyone. What's a recent new business win or new client relationship that you're particularly proud of?
Well, we just picked up all the Kaiser Permanentes in town, and that was a relationship we've been working on for quite a while. We've recently picked up a lot of the Parkway properties, and right now, we have 22.5% net growth this year. So, I mean, we're doing some things right and, and constantly getting better. The challenge for us is making sure that trucks and equipment's easy. It's getting people in. So we have become quite a people processing company, folks ready to hit the ground every day.
I know there's a seasonal element to your business from an employment standpoint, and I would think that perhaps for both of you, but particularly for your business, Jim, the Affordable Care Act and some of those things that have been coming down on the healthcare side might have had an impact. Can you give some advice as you've kind of wandered through that issue for the last couple of years?
Well, I can tell you, we certainly haven't wandered through it. We have been through this thing knee deep. We know it inside and out, and it has a tremendous impact. Unfortunately, no matter where you stand on this thing, I can tell you for High Growth Partners, our employees will end up with a lesser product that is more expensive, and it's going to take a significant chunk off of our bottom line as a company. We had always offered healthcare to all of our employees, and now, unfortunately, it means less money for us to invest in the company. So we're studying it every day to try to find ways to make this work better for everyone. But the biggest piece of advice I have is get educated. Most of the folks that we talk to and across all business lines really don't understand what's about to happen.
So what have been the best resources to get educated? Because it seems like one of those just thorny, huge issues that you want to push into the corner.
Well, the biggest thing is, of course, your insurance brokers. They're the ones that can tell you the mechanics of how this whole thing's going to work. But there's a whole tax side of this thing as well. So talking to your CPA and finding out what that's going to mean to you in terms of the penalties and so forth. And I often hear a lot of folks say, particularly the ones that have less than 50 employees, well, it doesn't really impact me. Oh, indeed it does. And I've got friends all over the country that are in that situation that are seeing their insurance rates go through the roof as a result of this whole thing. So everybody needs to be educated on what's happening here.
Lee, Jim mentioned the stunning growth that he's had this year. Have you experienced growth in your business, and how are you driving that?
Well, it's interesting. Everybody that reads the news knows how well the apartment industry is doing, and everybody automatically thinks, "Boy, you guys must be printing money over at ProMove." And it's a little counterintuitive. We have done a great job of growing our traffic and our number of searches, but when the apartments are at 95% occupancy, oftentimes we can't find a suitable available unit within somebody's budget. And so our, what we call our conversion rate of those leads goes down.
I see.
And so according to most of our data sources, we've seen occupancy peak in Atlanta during the third quarter of this year. And we'll be, you can see all the new product coming in process. And so occupancy levels are supposed to decline slightly over the next 2 to 3 years. And so that creates opportunity for us to increase our conversion rate and also our average revenue per transaction. So while this year, from a top-line growth perspective, has been tough, we kind of have been investing in the product and training and everything, and are just really ready when the market loosens up a little bit, as it always does.
So there's definitely kind of a volatility element to your business that's directly linked to apartment capacity.
That's correct. And then, of course, the apartment capacity is a function of new supply versus typically job growth.
Right. Okay. Now, as you kind of come into that growth area, I guess you've operated in other markets too, and you've decided to narrow your focus at least temporarily to Atlanta. Talk about that, because that's kind of an interesting concept for business owners. Sometimes you want to have growth in lots of different directions, and sometimes people find that by narrowing your focus and perhaps you're increasing your competency, you get better results. Has that been your situation as you've kind of focused on the Atlanta market?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a combination of that and then also just kind of our entire industry being in a state of transition from what was an offline experience you know, perhaps a retail experience to one that is more online. And so we've experimented with small sales offices in other markets and never really got comfortable with making a really significant investment. Mm-hmm. And so we have been iterating our model and now have kind of a centralized ProMove online model, which we feel very, very good about, and actually we'll be able to grow our employment base here in the metro Atlanta area and actually serve customers who are looking for properties in other markets. And so it's much more scalable and very good capital efficient, strong margin opportunity. And so
rather than going to a new market by throwing people at it, you're kind of building your technology first and then getting prepared to take a next step, but really doing it technology first, it sounds like.
That's right. And then we have the traffic relationships that we've developed over the past 5 years are national in scope. And so, for example, if we decide to enter the Tampa and Orlando markets, we can basically, with the flip of a switch, turn on traffic equivalent to over 50% of what we're doing in Atlanta.
Wow, that's remarkable. So that's a huge leverage point. Jim, are there ways that technology is affecting your business?
Yeah, in many ways. And, frankly, from our standpoint, one of the biggest things is, as I mentioned, having 80 trucks on the road every day, being very, very efficient in routing and making sure that, our vehicles are where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be, and so forth. So a lot of the fleet technologies are really helping us quite a bit. And
so do you have GPS on every truck? And
we do.
You've got a command center at headquarters where you know where everybody is.
We do.
When they're eating lunch and all.
We're absolutely right. And we're very intentional as to routes that people take and so forth, kind of borrowing a little bit from the UPS philosophy and those types of things. But, this business is really about managing the pennies. And, when you have, three folks in a vehicle and traveling on the road and the fuel costs and so forth, we've got to keep our costs down for our customers.
Both of you are so focused on the service side of things. How do you really drive that client service excellence, mantra through your company? Lee, I'd love your thoughts on that. Because it's really at every touch point that you're affecting folks.
Right. Well, one thing that's kind of inherent to our business model is we don't get paid unless we do a great job and somebody moves into a property that we recommend. And so, kind of right in our guiding principles is we think about the customer experience and how to enhance it, just kind of as part of our organizational thinking.
Okay.
And so we're constantly improving, investing, training, and it's really a cornerstone of the company's success. The latest customer satisfaction ratings we're getting over it's close to 80% are giving us 5-star ratings on our service, and so we're very proud of that.
That's remarkable. So your property specialists, the people who are interacting with interested consumers are obviously doing an incredible job. How do you, or do you have special interview techniques to find these folks that, things that you're particularly looking for?
Well, we have seen great success with those coming out of the hospitality industry. And mm-hmm. So they're just, naturally people persons.
Right.
And gives them an opportunity to perhaps improve the hours and work schedule that they have and take Sundays off.
Okay. Jim, staffing is just a huge issue for you as well. How do you find the right people, and then how do you ensure that they're really, kind of getting that? They have very specific tasks that they need to do in a tight time frame, but, client service has got to be a key element of their business too.
Yeah, no doubt. And really, we're looking for really two different groups of folks. I mean, obviously the crews that are on the ground each and every day, and that process for finding them and training them, that's a very intensive hands-on training process. We use something called training within industry, which is the way that the U.S. Rosie the Riveter many, many years ago during World War II when they had to put all these folks, these women into the factories and get them up to speed real quick. There was a methodology there, and that's what we use as the basis of our training program for our field guys.
Fascinating.
And then, you know, when you look at the folks that are customer facing, the service folks, what's interesting about our business is that the vast majority of people that go to school to study this or get involved with this business don't do it because they want to be with people. They want to be with plants. I want to be outside, you know, all these other things. So actually finding people that understand this business and want to be with people is a challenge. And it's a great opportunity for us to bring other folks in. We've brought folks in from other industries and really train them the fine arts of landscaping, but then take in their personal skills and use those with our customers.
So I know landscaping skills are something that obviously a lot of people go to multiple years of college and graduate school for. That's something you can teach, I guess, post without them going back to school. That's really cool.
Right. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Really want to kind of get some viewpoints from you guys on the best business advice you've ever received. And it could be from anyone, but Lee, can you share with us
sure.
on that?
Sure. This was early on in an AllConnect board meeting, and Dr. Jag Sheth from Emory. We had, of course, a table full of venture capitalists and gung-ho folks, and this was 2000, so it was back in the day, and Jag very calmly and assertively pointed out that he said, "Gentlemen, you will find that this is a marathon, not a sprint." And what great insight and advice that was.
How true that is. It's we've been through a couple of miles or years here of difficulty, but it's remarkable to me the resilience of so many business owners through this period of time. When you take the long view, it's 26 miles, not 100 yards. Jim, what about you?
Well, years ago, I started working with a consultant, a gentleman out of Chicago named Frank Ross, a great friend of mine, and he's been working with our business for many years, kind of on the financial side of things. And at one point, many years ago, I was expressing frustration with some of our leadership, and he looked at me and he said, "You're a talented guy." He said, "But you've got to have the courage and the strength to go find people that are better than you and put them in charge." And so I look at my executive team today. It's a 4-member executive team, and I can do each and every one of their jobs, but I cannot do it as well as they do it individually. So it's a much stronger team.
What an incredible piece of advice for everyone. You really have to build that team around you. Lee, I know at AllConnect, you had that experience of going from, the founder to the primary leader and driver of the business, and now you're still affiliated with the firm, but in a board relationship. Talk about that, how that works, because
it's very interesting. People tell me that that is atypical of founders to be able to continue once it's time for the founder to move on, and so it's, I guess it's just in the way that I'm wired. So I served as CEO and or executive chairman from 98 when we founded the company through 2004, and then moved into just a board role plus some consulting as called on from time to time. And then I just remain on the board today and of course on call when they need me for anything that's kind of in my wheelhouse.
Also want to just ask you both about your dynamic, high energy leaders. And if you could just give a couple of words or observations about your leadership style, I'd love to hear about that. Jim?
Well, I can tell you mine is not I am not a micromanager by any means. My folks would tell you that I set very high expectations. Probably my best strength is the ability to paint the vision and get people motivated to be a part of that vision to make that happen. But I let them do what they do well. And if we have a problem along the way, we're going to talk about it. We're going to fix it. But day in and day out, they're in charge of their business.
As you kind of look out over the next 5 or 10 years for High Grove, what's the vision for the business and for the for what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of my favorite books. I read all the time, but one of my favorite business books was Good to Great. 10 years ago or so, I read that. It's one that if you've never read, everybody ought to read it. And there's a great
Jim Collins, right?
That's right, Jim Collins. That's right. And there's a great simplicity in the message there. And what I found at times through the national organization that I'm president of, and through my own business, is that complexity had creeped in, and we kind of lost track of what was the most important things. So we have a very simple and refined mission now. Our company retreat this year, we rolled that out with everybody, got everybody engaged in it. We're moving down that road. And at the end of the day, we will be the number one landscape company in the city. And we have a plan to make that happen.
That's great. That would represent, would that be doubling your sales? Or I don't know, you know, kind of what the the difference between one and four is.
Well, let's put it this way. Number one and number two are both $1 billion landscape companies that just merged. They're nationwide companies, and their Atlanta revenue is about $80 million. So
you're going to just kind of knock away at the big gorilla in the market.
We do every day.
Sure.
That's who we beat on every day. But our important thing is it's not so much about that top-line number. It is making sure, first and foremost, that we stay profitable and we have the money to reinvest in our business and we build the kind of business that we're proud of and that we want to be a part of.
So really quality growth is what you're focused on.
Absolutely.
Great. Lee, leadership style.
I'm also a hands-off type. Kind of my strength really is in business model design, customer experience design, setting the strategy, articulating the vision. Coming up with the right timing to make significant investments, and then it's really up to the team to make it happen. And when I've been CEO, I've typically had a very strong president or chief operations officer that is very, very, very detail oriented, and so that is my style, and I think we're going to stick with it.
That's great. Thank you. That's excellent. We're going to shift to the speed round. We have a few minutes left here, and this is where I'm going to just ask you some off-the-cuff questions. Lee, when you were growing up, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Initially a dentist until I took high school chemistry.
What turned you off about high school chemistry?
I just didn't like it. Have you ever heard that from one of your boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got it on the biology side, though. Okay. Chemistry was okay. What about you, Jim?
Well, of course, my dream was to be a professional baseball player, but there's no speed here. I could hit the ball, but there was no speed, so that was a done deal.
Okay. Favorite movies?
Probably a tie. I'm a comedy guy, so Airplane, Caddyshack.
Airplane and Caddyshack, two classics. Excellent. Jim, what about you?
On the comedy side, I got to say Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but my favorite is The Godfather, the whole trilogy. I mean, you just can't beat that.
That's great. Okay. Marlon Brando at his best back in the day. Yeah. How about charities? What charities or boards are you guys involved in?
Hands down for me, it's Buckhead Christian Ministry.
And what do you like so much about Buckhead Christian Ministry?
It's a homelessness prevention ministry, and it focuses on kind of the working poor and helps them in time of crisis. And not only does it help them through the crisis, it then equips them to avoid crises in the future. Mm-hmm. And so it's just incredibly effective and cost-effective compared to watching a family go homeless.
Yeah, and within Highgrove, we have something we call High Hopes, which is our internal giving club. And we have three groups we work with. There's a special needs school, a battered women's shelter, and a children's home. And we're constantly on those properties, doing things with them, helping them out, fundraising and so forth. And then, also personally, I've been heavily involved in our educational foundation for our industry. And I'm constantly fundraising for that as well.
Remarkable. One other question I've got to ask. I know you both are into sports. If you could be a professional or a college athlete, what team would you play for and what position would you play? Jim.
Well, you know, I've got two teenage boys that are serious lacrosse players, and I never touched that sport when I was growing up, but now I am the greatest lacrosse fan in the world, and I feel like I'm on an airplane every day taking them somewhere. You know, I absolutely would probably play for Duke or North Carolina or one of those schools, and got to be a defenseman. Big long stick I can beat people with. It's great.
There you go. You get to no other sport you get to run around and beat people with a stick.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Great. Lee, what about you?
Well, let's see. I was a tennis player, but in watching my kids, boy, I have really gotten interested in soccer. I've got three girls that have played soccer and just really enjoyed that. And my son plays baseball. It is a difficult choice, but I think I might pick center back in soccer for. You know, I went to Ole Miss, but Ole Miss doesn't have a men's soccer program, so I guess I better pick North Carolina, which is where my wife went.
Okay, there we go.
They have a football team now.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, the Ole Miss football team is fantastic this year. Thank you both for being here in the studio. This has been a great conversation. I really appreciate all of your insights. Lee, if people want to learn more about your company or contact you, how do they do that?
Sure. Just promove.com on the promove side and allconnect.com. And my email address is just lee@promove.com.
Great. Thank you. Jim?
Yes, just highgrove.net. Real simple. And I'm just jim.mccutcheon@highgrove.net.
Great. Thank you both. Join us again next week for another Founders Club broadcast. Sponsored by Atlantic Capital Bank and powered by Business Radio X.